You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's
and look,
message,
I pulled that out. I just
Ralph.
Extracted that because he said that. He said that we should be there. And guys, because he says it, I might not always feel like it. There's going to be some times when I'll take it on the chin. But man, if I can be there, I need to be there. And that's for me, that's for you, and that's for all of us. And by the way, he didn't suggest that. He said that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When I came in today, Deacon Frank was talking about some things, and he said something that really it touched my heart and even actually made me chuckle. I don't get that when I watch that on video. And when I see you, or see you, or see you, it's a blessing to my heart. And not to mention, if God says it, I need to be obedient. And what he is saying is that on a regular basis, if I'm being disobedient to this or any other standard that he puts in his word, then there's an issue with the connection, or with the belief, or with the understanding of my relationship with Christ. Is something wrong. And he's saying that if I can do that regularly and I can do that without it bothering me, there's an issue with the relationship I say I have. He says in verse 3, and hereby we know that we know him if, and that's a big if, we keep his commandments. He says, he that saith, and again, he that saith, he's talking about lip service, somebody that says something. And again, I appreciate John at this stage of his life. He doesn't have a whole lot of time to be playing. He says, he that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, look what he says, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And God, look, we do sin. We all sin. He says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And every day we do something. But our life should not be categorized by sin. I shouldn't be able to do what I used to do all the time. And it not bother me. I shouldn't be able to go back there. And by the way, I ought to be growing in grace because I'm reading, I'm hearing, I'm listening. And hallelujah, as John is saying, I ought to be obedient to what he's saying. And if all the time I'm always going to the sin area, if all the time I'm always gravitating there, if all the time or every 5 minutes I'm saying, oh, I messed up again, there's something wrong. And what John says that I might say with my life, with my mouth, but he's saying my life is saying that I'm a liar. And he's not mincing words. And that goes for you, it goes for me as well. That if my life is not lining up with what I'm saying, then I am a liar. And guys, by the way, how many lies we got to tell to be a liar? Just one. And listen, Christ died for that lie because it's sin. But if we keep regurgitating that same thing over and over, there's an issue once again. He says in verse 4, in fact, I'm going to read verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso, and I love this, other side of the fence, whoso keepeth his word in him, look what he says, verily is the love of God perfected. And listen, not that we're perfect Christians, but we're maturing because we're listening and we're doing. Hereby know we that we are in him. And I love that, man, because there are some things from my past that I've struggled with, and some of them I've brought into my walk with God. And listen, last year, maybe I was still thinking about them. And this year, it doesn't even bother me when it comes to mind. I dismiss it. I pray about it. And I move on. And that shows I'm maturing in Christ. I'm not doing it, but he's doing that through me. More Jesus and less Brother Ralph. And listen, that ought to be the life of a believer. Less of yourself and more of Christ as we grow in grace. And by the way, guys, if it's going on the inside, it shows on the outside as well. He says in verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him. Look what he says. Very simple. Ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And guys, what we know is that Christ always walked in obedience to the Father. He would always tell them, I've come to do the work of my Father. I'm not doing my own work. I'm doing the work of my Father. And because he did the work of his Father and went to the cross and sent his Holy Spirit to me, now I'm strengthened by the Spirit, and now I can do the work of my Savior and walk in my Savior, not because I'm that strong, but because his Spirit is that strong. And I stamp down my flesh, and I allow his Spirit to come to the forefront. Amen. Go with me back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 18. He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And again, that perfect propitiation. He goes on in verse 20, who verily was foreordained. I love that, man. It was foreordained even before this earth was even put into place. It says before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And look, you can put your name there and make it personal. And he's saying the last times, he's talking about the last days. And by the way, they started when Christ came. They'll end when he comes back. And listen, he did that. If he didn't do it for nobody else, he did that for me. And man, he saved me, he blessed me, and he's ministering to me even right now. And guys, because of him, I'm able to not do some of the things I used to do. I'm able to now praise him in spirit and in truth. I'm now able to understand his word. And by the way, for the believer, we know the secret of life and death. If you know Jesus, then you have life. If you don't know him, then you're dead already. You're simply walking around this earth and wandering and floundering, trying to find your way. But in Christ, hallelujah, we've already found our way. And his light highlights the way as we're obedient to where and what he calls us to do. He says, who, verse 20, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you. In other words, he put on flesh for you and for me. He goes on in verse 21, who by him do believe in God, and by the way, only because of Christ, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, and God gave him glory, because glory was due him, that your faith and hope might be in God. And listen, God secured it. The finished works of Jesus made it so. And the Holy Spirit sent it to our hearts and allows us even now to do what God has called us to do. He says in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls. In other words, if you're saved, it's an already done deal. He says, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, it says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And this unfeigned love is simply sincere love. And listen, we can say to each other, well, I love you, and I love you. And then as you get by, man, I can't stand them. But he's talking about agape love, man, that we just love for the sake of loving, because they need to be loved. And they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And for that, I love them. And listen, I'm going to be with them forever. And he says unfeigned love. He's talking about a sincere love of the brethren. He goes on, see that you love one another with a pure heart. And he says fervently. In other words, not just saying I love you. He's saying that it ought to show that I love you. Man, every time I greet Scott, and when he comes, he gives me this great big bear hug, and I guess he got that strength from wrestling with them alligators, but I mean, it's real. I'm like, yes, and I love that. And it's a blessing to my heart, man. It helps me to know it's real. And he says in verse 23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. In other words, seed, a fleshly seed, seed that will not grow to nothing, that's going to pass away. He says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. He goes on to even tells us how. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And look what we know about God and his truth, that it's always going to stand, it's always going to last. And worldly things, man, fleshly things, they come and go. This year, this is it. That next year, something else is it. And this year, we believe this. And next year, they'll believe something else. But God is consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And look, with him, Christ is right, and anything else apart from him is wrong. Sin will always be sin, and righteousness can only come through Christ. It's always been so. It will always be so. And we ought to walk in that truth as God has given us the ability not only to do it, but to see it for what it is. He says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. But not a corruptible seed, he said, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He goes on, and listen, he gives us a friendly reminder, look, as if we need one, because at this stage in my life, I understand what he's saying perfectly. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. He says, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And look, I look in the mirror every day and I see the grass is falling away more and more. And listen, when I go to do something, and look, I used to be able to run all day long, and now I run a couple of steps and I'm out of breath. And I realize that just like the things of this world, this body, this fleshly body, though God keeps it and blesses it and even heals it, I know it's not going to last forever. I know that. I'm seeing the signs of that. And look, with his help and with doctors and whatever medication, it keeps me going. I'm able to function, but I know one day it's just not going to work anymore. And he says in verse 24, he says, oh, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, he says, as the flower of grass. He said, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And he goes on in verse 25. But the word of the Lord, look, endureth forever. And this, he says, is the word which by the gospel, and that's the good news, is preached unto you. In other words, man, everything here on this earth is one day going to be gone, including us. And look, we're fading every day just a little bit. And by the way, we started dying from the moment we were born. We started dying. And little by little, this physical frame is getting weaker and weaker, and it is dying. But I love the fact that even though, although these aren't like they used to be, man, inside I've got the Spirit of God, and man, he's got some spiritual muscles and giving them to me, and they're getting stronger and stronger. And look, the only way that you can actually see it is by how I walk and how I talk and how the Lord uses me from the spiritual. And though I'm getting weak in the physical, in the spiritual, I'm getting awful strong, and I love it. Because I can thank the Lord. Even if I'm having a bad arthritis day and can't do what I want to do, I can still thank the Lord. I'm still breathing. I'm still doing okay. And listen, it gives me an opportunity to sit down and get in his word and learn some more and flex, hallelujah, my spiritual muscles. Because he says that exercise profiteth little. And what he's saying is that it builds up the body. But man, when you work those spiritual muscles, that's giving you one more to live on, one more to tell somebody else on, one more to grow spiritually on, and one more to get closer to our Lord on. And he's saying that that is a good thing. And in chapter 2, as we continue, still got some time, chapter 2, verse 1. And by the way, he says here, he begins chapter 2, verse 1, he says, well, wherefore, and generally a biblical rule of thumb, if we see therefore or wherefore, he's saying in lieu of everything we've seen in chapter 1, he says in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside, look, all malice and all guile, and he's talking about deceit, and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. And by the way, none of these are going to heaven with us anyway as a believer. And he said we lay those aside because they're not going to do the believer any good. And God looks on them as sin anyhow. He says, as newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And I love that, man. He's talking about God's word and the sincereness of it, that we ought to desire that. You ever see a little baby, and when they get hungry, and they probably start crying, and if you put them in the proximity of their mother or a bottle, you really don't have to teach them what to do. You get it near them, they know what to do because they're desiring. And listen, that little bit of milk, however they're getting it, it does something in them and it pacifies them and it satisfies them. And he's saying for the believer, man, I need more of Jesus and less of me and more of Jesus and less of me. He said, desiring as newborn babes, and we are the children of Christ. He said, desire the sincere milk of the world, that ye may grow thereby. And it amazes me how that baby can just drink milk, man, and get bigger and bigger and bigger. But man, if we get into God's word from the spiritual, we'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. And much of the time, you might not even realize it's getting in, but keep reading it. Keep studying it. It's getting in, and it's doing something. And look, in a time of trouble, he's going to allow you to regurgitate that same truth back because it relates to something that you're going through. He says in verse 2, as sincere as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And he goes on and kind of hits us in the face a bit, an eye-opener. In verse 3, he says, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And what he's saying is that if indeed you do know him, because if you don't, you're not going to want to get in this word. But if you do, man, the more you get, the more you're going to want. He says in about Christ, to whom coming as unto a living stone. In other words, he's that rock that's alive and brings life. It says, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And listen, he's precious to God, and he ought to be precious to us as well. He goes on, verse 5, ye also as lively stones, in other words, we're in Christ, so we're alive. He says, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And listen, we've done that. We don't even have to put on a robe. He said to offer up spiritual sacrifices, look, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In other words, what we do ought to be pleasing in his sight. We read, it might have been last week or the week before, Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, he's saying that, look, that's the least we can do, that we get up in the morning and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on today. I have no idea what I'm going to do when I leave this door, my house. I got some appointments, but Lord, I need you to know that even in the midst of those appointments, I'm yours. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? Is there somebody I should call? Lord, I'm yours, and just use me wherever I go on this day. He says in verse 6 of chapter 2, wherefore also is it contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. He says, elect. And by the way, he's talking about Christ, and he's been elected, and the only one that had a vote was Christ, was God. It says precious, and he's precious to God. He ought to be precious to us as well. and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In other words, man, for the believer, if you know Christ, there's no confusion. Many times folk who are not in Christ, who are unbelievers, and you tell them about it, they're confused. Well, how could he have died for my sins? And how could he be born to a virgin? And how could he be no have no sin? And listen, for them it's a problem because the Holy Spirit's not in them. But for us it is not, because the Holy Spirit has explained that thing to us in such a way that we wholeheartedly believe and accept Christ as who he says he is, because he is. God's only begotten Son, the perfect sinless one, the one that has died for my sin, and the one that will see me ushered into heaven. And look, I can only prove it through God's word, but I believe that thing so much that I don't much care what comes along. And listen, it happens in other countries. It very well may come here during our time that somebody will put a gun to your head and tell you to denounce him. But man, I believe him so strongly that I can't denounce him, because I believe if it's not my time, something's going to happen where I don't leave. And he's going to work it out. Anyhow, our spiritual father Abraham believed that so much that he was going to sacrifice his only son that God said was going to populate the whole saved world. And he put his son on the altar. He put the wood on the altar. And he went to sacrifice his son with a knife. And God provided him a ram in a thicket. So he did not have to sacrifice his son. And listen, he believed God so that he told his man, wait here, me and the lad will return. And guys, I believe that all the years that I'm supposed to get on this side, I believe I'm going to get them, because God's going to see to that. There's been some issues and some times in my life when I really should have died, but I didn't. And God kept me. There's been some times in my life, even prior to salvation, when somebody should have really killed me and even tried to, but God stopped them because he wanted to make sure I was right. And even now, I'm going to get all the years that he says I should get. And when that time has come, I'll leave here. But until then, like Peter and like Paul, I'm going to serve him with everything I've got as long as I have breath in my body. He says in verse 6, wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, it says elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, and by the way, he is most precious, but unto them which be disobedient, and he's talking about those that don't know him, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made, he said, the head of the corner. And listen, they don't know that. They can't see that. But the one that they didn't want is the one that fit perfectly in regard to our salvation. Guys, I think about sometimes, I don't do it anymore. I used to do jigsaw puzzles. And sometimes you're trying to put this thing together, and if you don't get the pieces, a perfect piece that goes, and when you put that piece in, it just fits. And you begin to see the picture more clearly, and you begin to understand it more clearly. And listen, there are folk that come to me, and they maybe their mother died or their child died, and they're trying to figure out this thing called life. And they'll say, Lord, Brother Ralph, I don't understand this. I don't know what life is all about. Or they're sick, and I've lived all these years, and what's it all for? And someone look at me and say, what's it all about, Ralphie? And you know what I can tell them? I can tell them it's about this one, this precious cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who died so that you could be free. And listen, I don't have all the puzzle pieces, but because I've got this one here, I know that my Savior lives, and I know that life is worth the living just because he lives. That I know. And I know that when I leave here, I'm going to be with him. And regardless of what was going on in my life on this side, because of Jesus Christ, my life was worth living. And so many people that don't know him are trying to figure out life. And the problem is, if you don't know him, then you don't have life. And until you get to know him, that is when true life begins with Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble, at his word." And he even tells us why. He said, being disobedient, unto also they were appointed. And guys, I read this, and we are going to go somewhere else and look at these appointments, but time is going to fail me in regard to that. But I will say this, that everybody that's born of a woman has an appointment either in heaven or has an appointment in hell. And God is the one that set up that standard and set up that appointment system. And the question is for us today, that where is your appointment? And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you already know your appointment is in heaven. But if you don't know him, or you're unsure of your relationship with him, then if you're unsure that you don't know him, then I suspect that now would be a good time to ask him into your heart. Listen, I can't make you do it. Surely nobody here can make you do it. But if the Spirit is on your heart, and you know you've been fooling around with this thing, you know you've been dancing and prancing all around it, you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know what, I just don't know Christ for real. And now would be the time to ask him in your heart and allow him to bless you as he touches you and ministers to you. And what I would say is, don't leave this place not knowing Jesus. And also what I would say, don't turn this tape off if you don't know Jesus. If he's speaking to your heart, be obedient to him and allow him to save your soul. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of lessons, this time of teaching, this time of preaching. Father God, we thank you for this time of worship. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, as you touch the hearts of all who are here and all who are watching, that you'll minister to them. And Father God, meet them right where they live. If salvation is needed, Father God, that, Lord, you'll meet them there and show them the path to salvation. Father God, if growth is needed, Father, that through this word, you'll show them the path to growth. If anyone here is living in sin, or if anyone watching is living in sin or struggling in sin, Father God, allow them to know that Jesus is the fix for that as well. And Father, we thank you for how you're working things out. We thank you for even helping us to be obedient. And Father God, for allowing your son to die in my stead, and thereby setting me free. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we say yes to your will and to your way, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And let God's church say, amen and amen. God bless you guys, and thank you.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at New Beginnings Lamp, LAMP, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.